about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, it's for you. Who it is?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Dumbass.
Am I gonna see the pig's face or what?
No.
He wears that in the studio?
No, they're not here. They do the show remotely.
What?
Yeah, they hate each other.
Oh.
The pig does it from his home studio up in Seattle, and Pete is in Los Angeles.
I feel like dancing today, and I feel like rejoicing, because this is a big day. It means so much to me.
And now.
Well, I guess everything's back to normal. Oh, man, not this guy again.
Oh, man, not this guy again. But
our feature presentation.
I wish that guy existed in real life. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 10th of July.
What's up, party people?
Hey there, Bean.
What's going on,
Hi,
Bean?
Lisa.
What are you doing?
Kevin, I hear you have the Brazil AIDS. Is that true?
Yes. But well worth it.
How you feeling?
I'm all right.
Recovering? It's a long trip to come back from, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of travel. Too many planes, but yeah. Worth it. Worth every second.
I wish I had no one ever wants to not be on vacation, but I do wish I would have been here Monday to hear the kind of shape you were in just getting back from Brazil and Ralph was in just getting back from England. Because didn't he come in like Sunday or something?
He came in the night before at like 11
p.m. So you guys were firing on all cylinders, right?
By the way, I don't remember much of Monday, but I think we were great. I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh. Well, the good news is, as Chip reminded me this morning first thing, is that Beer Mug is still on vacation this week. So I'm coming back from vacation. It's like I'm still on vacation because there's no mugs.
Yeah, it's been sweet. Got to be honest.
Fantastic.
You can take
so
a deep breath.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
And we've made more mistakes than usual when Muggs is here, and yet it's still worth it.
Still worth it. Yeah. And isn't it nice to not have to keep like one hand on your food at all times to make sure it doesn't disappear while you're talking on the radio?
Yeah. Yeah, because one hand usually is not enough to fight off Muggs.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be back. Welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Before we get started, I do have a story, as we like to do first thing in the morning to get us going. This one, please tell me if you already covered the sexting case that's going on in Prince William County, Manassas, Virginia.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Here is a, sexting's very popular with the kids.
Sure.
And here is a situation where a 15-year-old girl sent naked photos of herself to her 17-year-old boyfriend. And every time you get one of these stories that comes up where the kids are the same age or close to it and they're teenagers.
Right.
I always wonder about the child pornography charges that they bring onto these kids.
Yeah, that does seem like they're taking advantage of, like, that's not what the law was for.
Right.
Exactly. Sort of.
Yeah, the law is for you to not have 15-year-old naked girls on your phone. It's not for her 17-year-old boyfriend. But I understand that they're trying to discourage that kind of behavior. But, I mean, if you get convicted in one of these cases and you're, you know, even if you're a minor, that's the type of thing that, you know, could potentially put you on a, you know, a sex offender database, you know, for the rest of your life. I mean, there's bad things that can happen if you get convicted of something like this. And if you're, you know, if you're and your girlfriend, you're the same age or close to it, it just doesn't seem appropriate. Well, in this case, the boy texted back video of his penis to her. He has been arrested. She has not, which is thing A to consider, by the way. Because isn't what she's doing just as, under the law anyway, just as criminal as what he's doing?
Yeah.
Aren't they both manufacturing and distributing child pornography?
Do you shave down there?
I don't know that we need Chris Hansen for this.
Sir, I think we do.
So thing A is he's arrested, she's not, what's up with that? And thing B, and this is why this story is making national headlines, is the prosecutor's office in Prince William County would like the boy to plead guilty. He is not going to. He is going to fight it. And I don't know what his defense is going to be. Maybe they hope going to court somehow they can make sure nothing ends up on his record or whatever. But, I mean, it's certainly a criminal defendant's right to plead not guilty if he chooses to. The pressure that they are putting on him to plead guilty includes this. Even though they have all the evidence in the world that it's his penis and he sent the photo from his phone, and they can certainly prove that electronically, they say that if he doesn't plead guilty, they are going to force him to have pictures taken of his erect penis to compare to the penis in the video.
Oh, my God.
They're just using that as a threat?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
asked how they were going to do that, they say, well, we can take him to the hospital and put a shot in it to take a picture because it's unlikely they're going to be able to get him aroused in police custody to take this photo.
This now, is under,
please,
insane.
How old's the guy?
17.
Yeah, they could get him aroused with any woman in any place. Just bring in any woman. Just have
a
female
meth addict.
Yep. Police officer come in to take the photos and he'll
correct.
Be fine.
Yep.
So now they're talking about forcing him to have this photo taken. So aren't they now going to be making child pornography?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's underage, right?
Yes.
That's a really good point.
So how is this happening? Well, he's fighting it, obviously, and we don't know what happened. The next court date is going to be July 15th, which I think is next Tuesday, so we'll keep an eye on it and see what happens. But this is just, this is spiraling out of control, this one, right?
I love to a young man. Eat and
all right, take it easy.
So, no bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno.
Let's talk, speaking of no bueno, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
What are they really doing now?
Michael Schneider will be on the program today talking about the Emmy nominations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. Drew's on the show today. There's music for dogs.
Yes, there is.
There's a TV.
I don't know about that.
There's a TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a musician who is writing music for pets, and it's not just so that they will be entertained while you watch TV. It's a channel for them to watch while you're gone.
While you're gone, yeah.
Well, we've had discussions in the past about what you leave on your TV for your dog and how do you know what they like. We've
right.
had that discussions, but now it sounds like they don't even have to, you know, co-sign on our human programming anymore.
Exactly.
There's stuff that's being designed especially for them.
It's I think the keyboard is for fun, Ralph said yesterday.
Yes.
It was the guy that's actually writing the music for the dogs.
All right.
Carlton Cuse on the program today.
Fantastic.
Talking about The Strain, which debuts Sunday on FX.
You don't want worms in your face under your skin, I'll tell you that.
I love it. I loved it. Saw the first episode. Can't wait. Funny man David Alan Greer will be here from the LA Galaxy, and the U.S. men's national team, Omar Gonzalez, will be on the program today. And a new feature called Was It Bean?
I can't okay. wait.
Was what? It Bean?
How? Who?
We'll explain.
Yeah, when? Don't worry.
We've had the idea for two or three days. I think Ralph came up with it, and so we've just been waiting. Just holding on to it.
For until, you to come back
right,
so we can do this.
Now that you're back.
I bet it's going to be fun.
Was it Bean? Coming up this morning on K-Rock.
Ralph Garman.
Yeah!
Morning, sir.
Wow!
Big,
hey, what's going on? I'm going to have some fun.
Hell yeah.
One of the red letter days on the Hollywood calendar. Big one for you today. What's going on?
Emmys, it's the Emmys.
Is that a song?
Yeah, it's my new song.
Oh,
my
you just made it up.
Theme song. This morning, just moments ago, they announced all the nominees for the Emmys. Outstanding work in television, of course, from the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Here are your nominations.
I will burn the place down if Tatiana Maslany, how do you say her name?
Maslany.
Yes, Maslany does not get nominated
well,
for Orphan Black.
Then get
I'll
your
burn
matches
it down.
Out. Get your matches out. Get your matches and your lighter out.
No.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
She didn't
She's
get
so good.
I know she is. What do you want from me?
But I don't know. You're a Hollywood
I'm
guy.
I'm not the, on the Academy Board of Directors.
But you run this place.
They don't, you
what we
the
were
honorary
told.
Mayor or something?
I am the honorary mayor of show business. You're right. Yes. Do you want the nominations or are you just going to bitch and moan now?
Well, they don't really matter. They don't really mean anything.
I got 3 minutes.
Can we do both?
No.
No, okay, then
you
we'd like to.
You moan in your own time. All I got nominations to
we'd
get
like the
here.
Nominations, though.
Let's take a look at the two biggies, Outstanding Drama and Outstanding Comedy.
All right.
These are your six nominees for each of those categories. Breaking Bad, no surprise there. Downton Abbey, once again, no surprise. Game of Thrones. House of Cards.
Awesome.
Mm.
Mad Men. Mm-hmm. And then the new kid on the block. This is the, not a surprise, but the one that's shaking things up in all the categories. True Detective, nominated for Outstanding Drama.
But no Orange is the New Black.
Well, that's not really a drama, according to the Academy.
Okay, all right.
It is a comedy, and in the category of Outstanding Comedies, we have Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
The Big Bang Theory, of course, Louis, Modern Family, Silicon Valley.
I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Louis is a comedy.
I was just going to say,
everyone has watched that.
Just going to say the same thing.
That is, really need a new category that is for
not
these shows.
A funny show,
and the one that should win the Outstanding Comedy of the Year, Veep, also nominated.
Veep is fantastic.
Category. It is the funniest show.
Yeah, I would not be. I would not be mad at Veep winning that category.
Lead actor in a drama series. The Usual Suspects, for the most part.
Usual Suspects was nominated this far after the movie.
Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad. Jeff Daniels for The Newsroom. Jon Hamm, the perennial nominee for Mad Men. Kevin Spacey for House of Cards. Then, once again, mixing things up, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, each nominated for their work in True Detective. Lead actress in a drama series, Lizzie Kaplan for Masters of Sex. Claire Danes for Homeland. Michelle Dockery for Downton Abbey. Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife. Kerry Washington for Scandal. And Robin Wright for House of Cards.
God, and Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black, right?
I think I've mentioned, I may have tapped on to the fact that there is no nomination for her
That's
in that
crazy.
Category.
If she doesn't get nominated, I'm going to burn the place down.
I think we've covered this, and you should be burning now and not talking.
I'm just saying, I'm going to.
Lead actor in a comedy series, Jim Parsons as Sheldon Cooper. Okay, look, Academy, we get it. You like him. They give it to him every year.
I know.
Ricky Gervais for Derek. He's great in that.
Derek is amazing.
He's pretty great in that.
Yeah.
Matt LeBlanc for Episodes. Okay, Academy, stop it.
We
know he was on Friends once, but enough.
And so is she, right? Is that the show with, what's her name on it? Lisa Kudrow?
No.
Different one. Nope. Okay. All right. I withdraw my question.
Can you just start burning?
I'll burn the place down.
Don Cheadle for House of Lies, Louis C.K. for Louie, and William H. Macy as Frank Gallagher in Shameless. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy. I've been handing these things as we're going along here, and I can't seem to find that category. That's disturbing. Wait a minute. It must be here someplace. Must be here someplace, right? What do you think?
I have it if you need it, Ralph.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lead actress in a comedy?
Oh, I got it. Sorry. Here we go. Lena Dunham for Girls. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy for Mike and Molly. Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie. Taylor Schilling for Orange is the New Black. Amy Poehler for Parks and Recreation. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep.
She should win that, too.
Yeah. You want the outstanding? Oh, we don't have time for supporting. We'll hit supporting in the next hour, but... Those are most of your bigger categories for the Emmys announced.
I didn't hear Tatiana Maslany's name mentioned.
When are the Emmys?
I had a clone. I would send him in here to do this job.
Yeah. What are the Emmys? Do you know?
The Emmys are airing on television sometime soon.
Okay.
Believe, check your local listings for
I believe
details.
August 15th is August what 15th. I heard, maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
It's a Monday.
Monday, August 25th at Nokia 25th. Theater.
All
Thank
right.
You, Jesus.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Chiwetel Ejiofor. Also nominated for an Emmy this morning for his work in the...
done with that pronunciation.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, 12 Years a Slave.
Oh,
nominated
okay.
For an Oscar.
He was fantastic.
He's also nominated for an Emmy for his work in Dancing on the Edge, which he did a great job in. He is 37 years old today. Jessica Simpson is 34. Adrian Grenier from Entourage, of course, is 38. Sofia Vergara, 42 years old. Pet Shop Boys singer Neil Tennant is 60 years old. And actress Mindy Sterling, probably still best known as... Frau Farbishner from the Austin Powers films. She is 61. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
And now a look into the creepiest stories in the news, where we ask, was it Bean?
Okay.
Was it Bean?
What's this about? Wait a minute. What's happening here?
Every time a creepy story happens in the news, we can't help but ask ourselves, was it Bean?
So, wait, so here's your life, is seeing creepy stories on the news and then wondering if somehow I'm in handcuffs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That pretty much summarizes it quite well.
When we sit around the office and someone says, oh, this is a creepy story, someone inevitably asks, was it Bean? And now we will find out today if it was Bean. Starting with the first story. Police say they were able to identify a man who hid a video camera in a woman's locker room at a gym, recording the women changing their clothing for over 20 minutes. Was it Bean?
Bean, did you do that?
No, I didn't have anything to do with that, or I can already tell you in advance any of these stories.
Massachusetts police say they were able to identify the man who'd put the video camera up because he started recording the video before he put it up. So basically the first 10 minutes was of his face
installing the camera.
Installing the camera.
So, all right. So that one wasn't
not
Bean.
All right.
No, of course it wasn't
Bean.
Bean
is smarter
We're
than that.
We're just checking.
Yeah. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have got caught.
Right.
It easily could have been Bean.
Oh, yeah.
No question about that.
A Seattle family gets a rude awakening at 2 a.m. when a nude man breaks into their house reciting scripture. We ask, was it Bean?
Bean, did you break into a house in your neighborhood and start quoting scripture?
Well, dude, no, I did not do that.
2 a.m.?
It turns out it wasn't Bean.
2 a.m., Seattle family scared to death. Guy breaks through the front door, stops downstairs, starts yelling scripture verses, and is nude. So the wife calls 911. The guy grabs a baseball bat, runs downstairs, finds naked yelling Bible man, and naked yelling Bible man runs out of the house. And that, so you're saying that was
despite
not
the proximity
you.
To my location, this was definitely not me. No.
Okay, right.
The guy was on acid, so I guess we should have.
Yeah, that's true.
Dream, he likes heroin.
That's true. That's partial.
And lastly, a man is behind bars for allegedly snapping pictures of a woman's buttocks without her permission at a used car lot. We ask, was it Bean?
Now that was you.
That had to be you.
There's no question about this. That was you.
You were on vacation. You were in jail for taking pictures of a woman's ass as she looked inside a car.
For you guys, not me either. I was not involved in this case at all.
Oh, no. You know what? This guy is, his name, Pedro Elemento Zungo Martinez.
Oh.
And he was arrested on this charge. Tell me if you've ever heard this. Improper visual photography.
I have not.
He went to buy a car and a woman went to buy a car. He was a salesman there and she bent over to look at the car and he was like, snap, 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 snap.
Well, that visual photography is the best kind.
that's the charge.
That's just dumb.
So that was you, Bean?
That was, again, not me. I'm sorry to disappoint
you. It easily could have been you, though.
No
None
question.
Of these
about
were
that.
Me.
You could have done all. They all could have been you.
All of them very well could have been you. So you can see why we ask, was it Bean?
It will be next hour.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Thursday morning. You know, these multi-act, and by multi, I mean like 200-act festivals, seem to be happening everywhere all the time now.
Yeah.
Seems like there's never a weekend that goes by where there's not a huge festival somewhere coming up. You know, you just get past Coachella, the next thing you know, it's Lollapalooza, or it's Outside Lands, or it's Bonnaroo. And they're happening all over the world. Glastonbury has been going on for decades in the UK, and this is the big festival that just passed, I think, last weekend. Arcade Fire, Metallica, and Jack White, and Lana Del Rey, and Kasabian, and the Black Keys. Huge. Dolly Parton, by the way, played on Sunday afternoon.
What?
Dolly Parton was one of the highlights of the thing. They have a Legends Sunday afternoon slot that they gave to Dolly Parton this year.
What is it? What's it like for Yoko Ono in England now? Is she revered? Is she hated? What's her story?
I think it's similar to here in the United States. I think she is looked at as a curiosity, as a little bit of a cultural footnote because of her association with the years that she was married to John Lennon. But I think most people don't think anything of her. And I will say that I think for most people, she's more famous as John Lennon's wife than she is as an artist or musician in her own right.
Well, artist, musician, let's be easy with those
words. Yeah, no kidding.
She performed at Glastonbury. And it's not good. But it's not good to the 10th degree. I mean, you have to multiply not good times not good to get what she is.
Now, let me ask you this question, because I know you have a highlight and you're going to play some of Yoko's performance. When something is bad to the 10th degree,
yes,
does it cross some sort of a line
yes.
where you think to yourself, this person isn't trying to make good music that happens to be bad. This person is accomplishing what they're trying to do, which is to make something that's so far out that it should not be judged in the standards of good pop music.
No, I think she hears a hit in her head.
You do?
I do. I think she thinks this is good.
Well, I mean, she's doing things that we'll never want to hear again. What's the point of that?
You think like that's a form of art that she's able to consistently do stuff that everyone in the world hates?
Look, she certainly knows from pop music, having been around it for so long with her husband.
Right.
She knows that this is the furthest thing from commercial. She's not trying to make a commercial pop song that stands alongside what Lana Del Rey is doing on the next stage. I think she's trying to do something that makes you feel something. I don't know what. Suicidal, maybe?
Yes. Like you want to take your own life. If I had a gun and a bullet, I'd use it. On me.
That's a mean thing to say to somebody who lost their husband to a gun and a bullet, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yoko Ono, I'm just about to play the clip. This is real. This is an actual clip of her singing, yelling, chanting.
Doing her thing.
Screaming.
Yeah.
At Glastonbury. And I don't know how much you're going to be able to take. I only have 2 minutes and 20 seconds of it.
Oh, there's no way we'll make that much.
Because it's unlistenable. So you think she's sort of doing this on purpose to get people's attention or to throw them off or whatever?
Well, I think her thing is outsider art. I mean, that's kind of what she was a celebrity of some note back in the 60s as an artist. And she used to do these very confrontational, provocative art shows. She is definitely an outside the mainstream person.
Wait until you hear her perform at Glastonbury. This song is called Don't Worry. Now, seriously, right here, you're out, right? I mean,
that's terrible.
You can listen to that first 20 seconds and go, what is this? But by the time she starts screaming at you.
It's not to my taste. If that's
it's not to anyone's taste.
It's not to my taste.
Who really is like, yes.
There are people
feeling it. She's so on today.
But how different is this from the hardest death metal you've ever heard where it's gone so far beyond somebody singing with a pleasant voice and a melody and words you can understand? At some point, it's just some sort of noise that you want to, that some people might want to just headbang to.
Do you think someone loves this?
I do.
Other than her.
I think someone loves this.
Somebody goes, yeah, this is my jam.
I do. I don't think
turn it up.
I don't think it's the only music they want to listen to, but I think there are times for some people where this is what they want.
She clearly didn't write a song. She's just yelling, don't worry. All right. I am 36 seconds in.
Oh, my God.
I'm about out. I'm almost done.
36 seconds is all I've played of this song. How crazy is that? This is what they should be using for torture.
Now, you watched the video as well?
Yep.
What's happening with the large crowd that starts out in front of her as she begins to perform?
They're sort of looking at her like, I don't understand what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. But they're not running for the exits?
No, not really. I think they're
not F the rest of the weekend. Let's just get out of here.
I think they're frozen right where they are, and they may have never left.
It's like Bombay.
Yeah, it's just like they turned to stone when she was up there screaming. I think you can see the video at kevinandbean.com, by the way.
Yes, Dave just tweeted it out from the @KevinandBean account as well. By the way, that's Yola Tengo, the band Yola Tengo that is the backing band. And if she wasn't singing, could you get into their groove?
No, I wouldn't like it, but she's the one that makes it offensive.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I could just go, oh, I don't like that. I'm not going to listen to it. But with her, I mean, come on. Why does she go, oh?
She does that in everything.
That's not singing. Well, what's happening?
Didn't we cover?
I've played 52 seconds.
Yeah, we're not going to make the whole thing. Didn't we cover a few years ago, Kevin, Yoko Ono in an art exhibit in New York City where she was just screaming at people? Like you would go into a room and she was just screaming her head off. Remember, that was her thing.
Yeah. I'm watching Chip try to search for Yoko Ono's by spelling it YP, and I'm not exactly sure why that's happening. She just got up and took the microphone, and she does the exact same thing where she just starts yelling, and she's offensive in every possible way. This is at the, I think it was the Museum of Modern Art.
There it is. There's our girl.
No backing band, just her screaming.
Now, I don't know if I'm just not smart enough, but how is that art?
Oh, that's not art.
But isn't that what a 3-year-old does on a playground?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. If you're Glastonbury, do you go, Hey, you want to cut that set a little short today?
I mean, it reminds me of Sam the Armenian.
Right, to me.
She's
too.
Just making it up as she goes along.
Actually, literally making it worse.
Yeah.
What? Stop that. Stop making that noise.
This song that she's doing in concert, by the way, is an actual song.
Don't tell me it was a hit.
It wasn't a hit. No, okay, no, no. Good. It was a B-side in 1969 of a song that she did. So she's
really?
Been trotting this song around for 40 years.
Well, it's worth it.
More than this one. It's worth it.
Look, I'm against bullying.
Yes.
But in some cases, it might help along the way. Like somebody should have at some point said to her, stop doing what you're doing. Right? Or we're going to make you.
Let's really talk about
that. I mean, seriously.
And then perhaps escorted her to her car.
That's correct.
Man, you are relentless, Kevin.
What?
First of all, you're at every game, all the Galaxy games.
Right.
Then you fly down to Brazil and you practically stalk the poor team.
Right.
They're trying to leave Brazil to get out of the airport. You're there grabbing onto their legs and taking photos, getting on the plane with them, doing everything you can.
I wasn't grabbing their legs.
Now you make poor Omar Gonzalez come on and do an interview. The guy's just trying to shake you at this point.
Hey, Omar.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I apologize for my stalker friend, Kevin, but he's out of control with this Galaxy thing. He's out of control, Omar.
I mean, you know, he actually helped me out because I got onto the plane. I was tired. I just wanted to sit there. And thankfully, all of the fans went up to him and were thanking him.
That happened. Did you hear that, Bean?
Bean was on vacation.
Okay.
What happened?
The U.S. men's team came to the lounge that I was in. And Omar. And
by the way, you were in because
I missed
your flight back home. Right?
I missed my flight. And Omar Gonzalez was on the flight. And the captain said, we'd like to thank the U.S. men's national team. You made us proud. And I stood up, and Omar stood up behind me, and people started shaking my hand, congratulating me and telling me they were proud.
Amazing.
And I took it. I took it. I was just like, glad to be of service. I did my best.
Why not? Now, Omar, you were doing interviews before heading down to Brazil where you were talking about how excited you were, obviously, and that you weren't sure that it was going to sink in while you were there, while you were in the middle of it. The thing was going to be such a fog that it might take a little bit after you returned home to America for it to finally hit you. How are you feeling now? Are you starting to settle down a little bit and realize, wow, that really did happen? I played in the freaking World Cup.
I think it's starting to hit me. I think right now it's still kind of a blur. All the days are still kind of mixing in together because of how many games we played in such a short time, the travel and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, the reception that I got when I came back home and from all the fans was amazing. And so, from that aspect, I think that I've come back to a changed country, and you know, everyone's a fan now, and it just makes me really happy to come back and to get that kind of reception.
The reception
it's
from
really
the
amazing.
The reception from the fans, was it cheapened by the fact that I got the same reception?
It actually made it better.
Made it better.
Okay. I was so impressed with how pro-USA the crowd was at all of your games. I mean, we kept hearing the stat on the broadcast on ESPN that 150,000 Americans went down to Brazil for the World Cup. You must have been so gratified to see how well-received you were from the people there.
I mean, to play in Brazil, thinking, you know, you're not going to have any fans there, it's going to be tough, but, you know, and then to actually get there and it feel like a home game because you look in the crowd and everyone's cheering USA, everyone's wearing USA colors. It was amazing. And to have, you know, the second most amount of fans in Brazil was, you know, another amazing fact. And, you know, I think people can see how much, you know, fans love the game and that they're willing to come and travel that far to support us. And, you know, all that support really helped us on the field and, you know, just checking social media and seeing how big the support here was at home just, you know, made it even better for us.
Talking to Omar Gonzalez of the LA Galaxy about the World Cup. Before we get to the Saturday night event, I would like to ask you about Brazil, Germany, and have you ever seen a game like that before at that level?
You know, it's, I don't think I've ever seen it at that level where it's a World Cup and, you know, just at that stage. And, you know, to be honest, I saw like the first couple of minutes at the stadium and then I drove home And I turned the game back on, and I just couldn't believe my eyes that it was 5-0.
Yeah.
And then it just kept on getting worse, And, you know, it was really amazing, but, you know, never seen anything like it.
How does a game like that happen? I mean, you've been on the right end and the wrong end of some very lopsided games in your career, Omar. Is it just where you just lose control and people lose focus and you panic and you're just not able to pull it back together again? I mean, I'm always so surprised when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was a bunch of different factors, but, I mean, you are the host country. You're on the field. You feel like you should be doing better. Then you start trying to do more stuff when, you know, you just got to pull your team back and get organized. And it doesn't help also when, you know, you touch the ball and then your fans start turning on you as well. And that just makes you feel even worse.
Yeah, they're vocal in their displeasure of their team.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, you can just imagine that the players didn't, you know, feel great about that either, and it just didn't help things. So,
and what was it like for Neymar sitting on the sidelines too, by the way?
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
Miserable, right?
Helpless there.
You know, helpless.
Can't help the team and you know.
So Saturday night is an LA Galaxy game playing Real Salt Lake, and you're doing Brazilian Heritage Night. Are you inviting the entire Brazilian national soccer team to your game for safety?
Yes, they can all come to our game so that they can be safe.
All right, guys. Glad to hear that. I felt so bad for those guys. I thought bad things were going to happen. Tell us about Saturday. What's going on?
Well, Saturday is Brazilian Heritage Night. So, you know, I invite all the fans to come out and, you know, just can't wait to step back on the field and you know, hopefully get a win. You know, playing Salt Lake is always a good game for us, and it's just some good soccer. So, you know. It's going to be a great time.
Your knee and ankle and whatever else is tweaked, is it back to okay? You can play?
I'm hoping so. You know, my ankle is still, I'm still getting back, but, you know, it's something that we have to be smart about. You know, I always want to play, so I've been doing everything I can to get back on the field, but if it's better for me not to play and save it for next week's game, then we might have to do that.
Yeah, you got to think long term. You can go to LAGalaxy.com for more information about the event this Saturday night. By the way, samba dancers, Brazilian food, Brazilian artists, no mention of waxing here, but I'm sure that's going to be part of the deal too. Sounds like a great thing. And the first 500 buyers will also receive a scarf. And by the way, we can't let you off the phone, Omar Gonzalez, without mentioning for your male and female fans alike that the ESPN magazine body issue is on newsstands tomorrow. This may be more of you than I personally needed to see, my friend.
Well, you know, if I'm not going to play, I think I might be selling the magazines right there on the corner. So.
It's the body issue. Omar Gonzalez just has one giant ball.
Yep, just that's one ball.
One ball.
Well, we learned
a size 3.
A size 3, right.
Well, congratulations for a thrilling tournament, and we're excited to have you home and excited to see the Galaxy get back up into action here at the StubHub Center Saturday night. Again, go to LAGalaxy.com to come see this night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Brazilian Heritage Night. Any Brazil fans out there that are still sad, this is a party. Give you a chance to go do something this weekend and forget your troubles. Omar, pleasure to talk to you again, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me on again.
Very sad. What? I'm sorry. This is awkward, and it's unfortunate, and it's ugly. We had David Alan Greer scheduled to come in today to talk about the ha-ha he's going to be bringing to the Brea Improv this weekend, but it happened to be on the same morning of the Emmy nominations, and nothing. Not one for Bad Teacher.
You know, I guess apparently, just because your show's been yanked off the air, you're not allowed to be nominated for an Emmy!
Well, you can be nominated. They just chose not to nominate you on your show, David.
Yes, you can. It can still happen.
It can happen, but
yeah.
I think that's a snub. I think they missed out.
It's a snubberoony. It's
sorry,
just a
Dad.
Lot of pain.
Yeah. You're going to be okay.
I don't think I am.
You look like you've been crying for a little while now.
Since 5:30 this morning when they didn't call his name.
Probably. Right. Hey, what's it like for you tonight? And they didn't call me name. I just
don't understand what.
It's not me. I gotta get in another show.
David Alan Greer is going to be at the Bray Improv for
enough of that. I don't care about that. I want to get on Scandal and then get a DUI. Maybe that'll help my
life. Hey, they do need a new black guy on Scandal. Why can't you be here?
I can do it, man.
Seriously.
Hold on.
Can you have your agent book you a DUI? Is that how it works?
You got a bottle? Down in the corner.
Yes. Yeah, Dag, I understand from our producer, Dave, that you were bad-mouthing the great sport of soccer. Is that true?
Soccer blows. It is the most war. I watched the U.S. game. I sat down and I passed out. I woke up an hour later. Nothing had happened.
Oh, a lot.
Well,
happened.
A lot had happened.
Nothing
had happened.
Dag.
Nothing
had happened.
Come on.
Let me tell you something.
Don't be ridiculous.
Golf without Tiger Woods is more exciting than soccer.
Oh, take it easy.
Oh, yes.
Sports is not all about scoring, Dave.
Apparently not.
You know that you can watch a 1-0 baseball game and it can be exciting.
I wouldn't. Let me tell you, this is how boring soccer is. It's more exciting to talk about the NBA, and they're not even playing.
Well, big moves, that's why. I mean, let's be honest. LeBron James is going.
And you know where they're not big moves? Soccer! Jesus, bloody Christ. I couldn't take
it. How many games did you give a shot to? Just one?
Most of one.
Most
of one.
The field's
too big. They're little ants, and they touch each other, and they fall down. And
yeah,
the whole notion
true.
Of a tackle. That was a tackle there by McGillicuddy. He touched him on the ankle. He went tumbling over. Oh, my gosh, that's a yellow card. He threw a header. Oh, it went bounced off the McGingalingy. Give me terms I can understand.
I love.
That's a matrigal.
I love soccer. But the flopping that goes on is absurd.
Not American. You are not American.
I am American.
No. No, you're not.
I think I am. You know I think that's science,
football.
By the way.
Football!
I like football too.
A real name. Oh, God. Somebody
are you talking about football?
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Boy, I just can't take it, you know.
Okay,
there's only two more games.
That's it.
Okay, let's just move on, because
snubbed at the end.
By the way,
it's
been a tough day.
Yeah rough. And then you got to come in and talk about soccer.
You said that you're like really getting serious with this guy now.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing this on to air, David?
I don't know.
Why are you so fascinated?
It seems
like my world is falling apart. I thought for 9.5 years I had a chance with you, and you came to see my play.
I did, and you were amazing.
Thank you, but you brought that man.
Just a minute.
What?
Just a minute. Lisa, were you aware that he thought there was a chance
We've always had kind of a thing.
Black and white together.
You know what I'm saying.
Hot. Does your boyfriend let you date?
I haven't really run that by him.
Let me get in there, okay?
I'll check it out.
Right, Dad, you're being kind. You haven't dated a woman out of her 20s in years.
I have. I think this woman is out of her 20s. That I am currently.
You think? Really? You're not sure.
Yes, barely out of her 20s, but for me, that's grown. That's grown, you know.
Hey, were you joking or do you want another TV show?
Do I want another TV show?
Yeah.
I'm actually developing another TV show.
That's the way to do it.
You have to be proactive.
Okay.
And I'm doing something that people will not expect of me. You know, it's called Hey, Now It's David. And it's just me, you know, just being witty.
And what do you do then on the show?
I'm just funny and.
So the first episode begins, and I sit down and I see you.
Extreme close up. I'm just going at it, you know. Funny. I don't know what my character is. My character's name is David, but we're going to change the last name so people don't get confused.
Okay.
Sure.
And David Arden. Grodner or something.
Still working on that?
Yes.
What's your gig going to be?
I haven't really written it down, but I got a lot of ideas.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm
Sounds
really
like you're
excited.
Taking it seriously.
Yeah, I am. We're going to pitch to one of the big, well, they're new networks, you know, the Nickelodeons and that, you know, those kind of guys.
Okay.
Out of the wheelhouse is term is.
I hope that you're not pitching it today because it doesn't seem
I got to go in about 10 minutes.
Maybe we should flush some of it out here a little bit.
All right. We have to take a very quick break. David Alan Greer is in studio. He's at the Brea Improv doing 6 big shows, including tonight, and then 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday night. Tickets, by the way, for the Great Dag, $20. Insane.
That's
pretty cheap.
It's crazy.
You get paid a lot more to see you.
Wow. I have merchandise this time, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Overalls,
You have the overalls like you're wearing?
Bingo!
good idea.
Seriously. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Right now, David Alan Greer in studio with us. You can see Dag on stage tonight at the Brea Improv for just $20. He's got two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night, and then Sunday night as well. Go to improv.com for more details.
David, we did reference this earlier, but $20, I don't know, maybe a little hike in that. Maybe a bit.
I'm not in charge of that. I'm an artist.
But you're under, you may be under...
It's still what they call a special Thursday discounted event.
But you're a big star. Don't sell yourself short, son. That's what we're saying.
Well, I mean, I am billed as, in comedy terminology,
right.
They're headliners, then they're special events.
Okay.
Then they're what they call a discount coupon accepted.
And that's, you're in that realm?
There is only, a performer only that goes people, on after me.
I see.
Just put that
people only buy tickets to Dag shows on Groupon. That's where we're at now.
Absolutely. Listen, you know, I hate to break this party up, but I had the most amazing dinner last night. I had this thing. It's called a veal chop. Now, I don't know what they do to these little calves.
Oh, don't make me say that.
They
treat them super nicely.
They need more of it. Lisa, so delicious.
I know. I love veal, but
so
I won't eat it.
I bought a calf online, and I put him in a closet. Need more of it. Pink and lovely, no muscle tone, soft. It was like eating a baby's arm. It was just...
How do you know what eating a baby's arm is like?
Well, I've eaten human flesh before.
Okay.
Right. Anyway,
he's a foodie.
So delicious. Try veal.
Not doing it.
No?
I've had it.
You're talking to the wrong crowd.
It's amazing, but it's horrible.
Veal is no good.
No, they don't.
It should be outlawed.
It's so... Oh, stop it.
Should be outlawed.
Foie gras? Foie gras?
No.
Same thing.
Don't
no?
do it.
No.
Don't do it. Don't
you
do
know,
it.
The geese that the foie gras I eat, I was told by Renard, who is my waiter, that these were a wild occurring foie gras.
No. Sure. There's no such
thing. They can't do that.
Oh, no, that
yeah, they do. They
you
just
have to
they
fatten
guzzle.
Up the liver.
Well, actually, not. The history of foie gras is that, you know,
what's
these
right
geese
now?
would be found in Roman times, you know, certain geese that would, you know, feed. For winter, and they were highly prized. And then that's when the Romans shoved that pipe down, or as I call it, the golden rod of deliciousness, and they just shove food down their throats, you know, much like most Americans.
Your geese did not have that happen.
Foie gras, amazing.
Dag, why isn't your new show a cooking show? Since I know you love it so much and you have your food blog.
I would love to do it. It's not, you know,
you have a food blog?
Yeah, Chocolate Glutton.
Huh.
He cures meat. I mean, he's hardcore.
He does it all. Yeah, makes his own everything. Have mm-hmm. you guessed it on like Top Chef as a guest judge or anything?
No, I would love.
Why
would,
you have
would
to
be better?
Or Iron Chef or any of those shows?
No, Top Chef. Iron Chef, what would be better than just sitting there and you know, just say stupid stuff like, I tasted star anise. Did you guys taste There's a lime peel. There's a lime peel in my mousse. Yeah, I would love to taste that food and just talk smack about it all day.
They're,
I'm that's doing, what those shows need, for yeah. sure.
Well, they're looking for new hosts on The View. Maybe that's your guess. They got a bunch of openings over there.
Rosie's coming back.
That's Woo! What I heard.
Yes, indeed. I love Rosie. I do. Rosie O'Donnell.
Mm.
I do. She's going to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
But won't you miss Jenny McCarthy and her crazy, wacky medical beliefs?
Here's the thing. Never watched, never will watch.
Thank you. You know why?
Because
that would make you homosexual.
Okay. I'm not sure that alone would.
It would.
And yet, I don't watch that show.
I was on it. And I didn't get a word in edgewise.
Really?
No, you don't have. It's four
How could
women.
You? There's four people. Yeah.
Four women. Oh, my God, I'm insulating. No, you don't. You just have to sit there.
And then thanks for coming in, Dave.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Doug, I got a serious question for you.
Yeah, let's go.
Because you're a funny man with a ha-ha, but you're a smart guy.
Uh-oh.
Opie Anthony in the news. You frequently guest on their show?
I've never been on the show.
What a surprise that is to me.
I've never been on the show.
They love comedians over there. I'm so surprised.
I would love to do it, but I wind up on everybody else's.
Right.
Did they really fire that dude?
You can do half of it.
And I wanted to know what your take is. Let me just bring the audience up to speed. It's a very popular, for many years, a terrestrial radio show in New York, and then they went to satellite a few years ago, and one of the hosts just got fired last week for something that he tweeted. Wasn't on the air, but he got into an altercation with a black woman in Times Square. Taking a photo, allegedly, according to history. And then he said a bunch of just really heinous, unforgivable things on Twitter that cost him his job.
Right.
And I just wondered, how you felt about that.
You know, he's a grown man, mm-hmm. and at this point, unless he was drunk or high, I mean, you just got to know that,
yeah.
you know, call your therapist, yell and scream at home, but you can't go on Twitter or on Facebook.
Wait, those aren't private?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and rail, not one tweet, but 700 billion. Even if he had a point, I mean, it.
Do you think he felt like because he was on satellite that there was a different way of judging him?
I don't know. I was surprised. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he thought because he didn't use. First of all, I didn't read all the tweets.
Yeah. Right.
I read whatever snippets.
Just the good stuff.
And his problem was the generalizations he was making about African Americans. It wasn't even just the altercation with the one woman. That's what got him into hot water.
Did he say black? He said everything else, you know. So
yeah.
He didn't use the N-word.
Yeah. But
he did
say
nincompoop, which is not allowed.
I guess my question for you, yeah. Dag, is do we live in a society now where you just can't have a job and be publicly racist anymore? Like you just can't work anymore because no company wants you. I mean,
no,
right?
Because
I mean,
it's a corporation. Not only racist, you can't say anything. The dude Adam, what's his butt from the Food Channel?
Oh, Adam, what's his butt?
He wasn't racist.
Well, he called a woman a C word. Yeah,
yeah. That's not racist. That's just.
Just vulgar. Off air, privately yelled at someone.
No,
or something.
Again, it was on Twitter, maybe or
it
something.
It was on Twitter, yeah.
Because they criticized. Oh, he had a term. Now, again. I'm giving you the shortened version from USA Today. He had a term that he used for his new show.
Shinspiration was his term.
Right. And then all these nut jobs were going, that is also the name of a pro-anorexic site. You know what I mean?
Yes.
For young girls to teach you how to lose weight.
This is a dude who lost a ton of weight. He lost a ton of weight.
By the way, here's how you lose weight. Stop eating! But it's but he said, you know, why don't you kill yourself and a bunch of other stuff. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm. And okay. He used the C word.
Apparently.
Lost his job.
He lost his job.
Well, that's just, he's stupid.
First of all, who cares? And I say, who cares? And why do you have a need to comment on what some idiot says online? What about ignore it?
Yeah.
Ignore it. Do you have to get up there at 2 a.m. and go, I gotta, Jenny 69's gonna hear it from me.
She needs a response and she needs it now.
Yeah, right. I mean, the guy, Opie and Anthony, was a little different, but because there are a bunch of tweets, I guess, I was still kind of surprised that they fired him immediately.
Well, me too. I'm surprised too because he's on a pay satellite channel where nobody accidentally comes across him. You subscribe to that service if you want to hear him. It's not forced on you. So who cares what he says or does? You know what I mean? If people enjoy his kind of humor, let them listen to it is what I say.
I was surprised too, but, you know, that's the way it is. Read my tweets. I mean, I got so much venom just from the most benign soccer tweet.
Yeah.
But it was for fun. I mean, I was having fun, but anything rougher than that? No. I was like, hey, have a good day. How do you know it's good? People are starving.
But David,
kids are crossing the border.
You know, I partly wanted to ask you this because you're a comedian and you walk a line sometimes on stage and online.
On stage.
And that is, are we not allowed to offend anyone anymore?
Not
online. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, but the other side of the question being is how far are you allowed to go?
Not on Twitter.
If you work for a company.
Yeah, man. Not on Twitter. I even worried about that. You know, CBS, you know, I had that show on CBS. And again, I'm not like, that's not really what I do online on Twitter. But still.
When the show is going,
of course. Yeah. Now I work for a corporation. Anytime I do an interview or any celebrity does an interview, they push a button and they have all of your tweets and they pick and choose and they go, you know, hey, what about this tweet
you
made at 3:15 about blackberries?
Yeah.
You know, or something.
Or hating Jews or whatever you were writing about that day.
Same difference. But you know what I mean? It's different now.
Yeah,
you know, or blog posts or anything.
Unfortunately, you have to be really, really careful.
What I don't
was
like it,
Stephen? I hate it, but Stephen
like
Colbert, remember?
He That's
did
right.
some
oh, yeah.
tweet
That's right.
where you have to, you know, come out and, you know, look, I'm really sorry. And then there are the apology judges.
Right. What well, did I he mean it?
Well, and I don't know. He didn't.
It
he
wasn't
didn't
really.
Look at the camera. He's not really sincere.
Right.
You know, look at Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, his comments about what he would say to his gay child. I heard, and this is a fact, the LBGT, ABCDEFG community made him get into a same-sex relationship for a year until he was absolved.
I don't think they can do that. You said that's fact?
Yeah, that's fact. And they have...
I think you're due for a scandal. I think, what are your shows at Brea this weekend?
No,
you need to do something.
Not me, Ray.
Time for publicity.
I'm trying to. And right. by the way, yes. get well, Tracy. We miss you.
Absolutely.
What
a That's a horrible,
horrible
thing. Horrible thing.
Horrible.
All right, we got to take a quick break. See Dag on stage tonight at the Brea Improv. At
20 bucks, baby.
Just
Woo!
20 bucks. Then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday night, improv.com. Hey, will you stick around? Because Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, including Emmy nominations next. Will you stick around for that?
No.
Here's my question for you. Hasn't Carlton Hughes done enough for us with all those great seasons of Lost and Bates Motel, which is coming back for a third season next year? Now he's given us The Strain. Shouldn't we let the man rest? That's what I'm saying to you, Kevin.
I'm saying no, because I've seen the first episode of The Strain and he needs to work hard.
The Strain premieres this Sunday night, July 13th at 10 p.m. on FX. Very excited to welcome Carlton Hughes to the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, Mr. Hughes, how are you, sir?
Hey, thanks, guys.
It is our pleasure to talk to you. The Strain, ever since the ads first started running on FX a few months ago, I thought, this looks like the most terrifying thing that's ever come to television.
It's got its moments. I'm really excited about it. I've been working on this project for about 2 years with filmmaker Guillermo del Toro, and he wrote a trilogy of books with a novelist named Chuck Hogan, and the first season of the show is an adaptation of the first book, and I think it's a really good story, and I think it will upend any preconception you have about vampires.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. Let's talk for a minute before we get into some of the specifics of the show and the cast and everything about this Guillermo del Toro, because we've been lucky enough to have him on the show a couple times over the years. He may be a real actual genius, right?
Not maybe. He is. I mean, first of all, I don't think there's anyone who knows more about horror, fantasy, genre lore than him. In fact, he has a house out in the valley, which is, it's like a 7,000 square foot like Tudor mansion, and it's stuffed with horror memorabilia, models, life size statues, posters,
wow.
Props. I mean,
I'd love to see that, but I don't want to sleep there.
No, even he doesn't sleep there. He had so much stuff that he, you know, his wife basically said, you need your own place for it. So he's got his own house which just houses his stuff.
That's pretty sweet.
I love that. And it's funny because you talk about what a fan he is of horror. It almost seems like everything is in The Strain. It has everything that we've ever seen in a horror movie kind of, you know, all in one show, including evil Nazis.
There's, you know, it's jam-packed for sure. I think it's really interesting because, you know, for me, I think of it really as a thriller with horror elements and the... You know, there is a lot going on. You know, as much as anything, I think it's, at least initially, the show is about epidemiology. You know, it's about the spread of this disease. The disease just happens to turn people into vampires.
There's that.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by the spread of infectious diseases. I really am. I read a lot on those kinds of viruses. And here's one of the serious questions that I have for you, Mr. Hughes, about The Strain. If something like this were to happen in real life, where something broke out like this does at JFK in New York, and the government knew about it, would they inform the people, do you think, or would they try to keep it a secret because of, you know, like some of the things that are talked about in your episode about how it's going to create panic and shut down the economy if we let the world know?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I was very interested in exploring in the show. I mean, my answer is probably not. I mean, I don't think that you can...
That would be my guess, too.
You can rely on... You know, on the government to basically provide all the details and you know, be completely straight about this as they're trying to sort through it. And that's, of course, one of the big reasons why it spreads. If you know, the government had, in our story, efficiently disseminated the information about it, they probably could have stopped it.
I want to go back to something that you said earlier in the interview, which is it upends what we know about vampires. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, personally, for one, I'm kind of tired of the brooding, romantic, sparkling vampire. You know, if you see, you know, when you kind of hear vampire, you just think of a guy who, you know, has a lot of romantic problems and is eternal. And, you know, I think that take on the genre is completely exhausted. And so these vampires are incredibly scary creatures. I mean, they're parasitic in the way that a tick is or a mosquito. I mean, they shoot these like 6-foot stingers out of their mouth that latch onto your arteries and suck you dry like a Capri Sun.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
Worms in the eyes are going to create nightmares for millions of people in this country. You see that one time, and it is just, there's something about that image, Carlton, and maybe it's because it's so believable that you can't stop thinking about it.
You know, so when these vampires drink you, and this is maybe a small spoiler, but not that much. You know, they basically pass these little parasitic worms into your bloodstream, and those are the infectious agents that turn you into a vampire. And you know, I just think it's one of those images. I'm sure you've seen over the years around LA here all of the great billboards for Fox's show, for FX's shows, and they always seem to have a bold take on, shows like Nip Tuck or American Horror Story. And I think they felt that this was, a great way to sort of encapsulate the fact that this is a really high adrenaline show. You know, it's got some scary, cool stuff in it.
Well, they nailed me. I saw that billboard or picture once, and I was like, I'm in. I don't even know what it's about yet, but I'm in.
We're talking to Carlton Cuse. The show is called The Strain. It premieres this Sunday night at 10 on FX. I think we have a clip from the pilot. Now, this is at the airport at JFK when something has befallen a plane on the incredibly named Regis Airlines, which can't be real, right, Carlton? There's no Regis Airlines, is there?
No, you're not going to be flying on Regis.
Yet.
Yet. All right, listen up.
Oh, my God. It's every passenger.
They're all dead.
What is this?
Help me. I have seen this disease before. All the passengers, dead and alive. They must be destroyed. He's here.
So you got the dead guy from Game of Thrones, the dead guy from House of Cards, the dead girl from Alias, and Rudy. That's your cast, right, Carlton?
Exactly. Oh, no, also, although he's not in the pilot, we also have one of the dead guys from Lost. So,
okay, good. All right, lots of dead guys. No, there's some terrific acting, and it really is an intriguing story that has a lot of different things going on. And how many episodes are we going to have? Is it 10? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, it's 13.
13. Fantastic. Yeah. The Strain, Sunday night at 10 on FX. Carlton, thanks so much for the time, man. Great to catch up with you. Good luck with it.
Oh, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. Music for dogs.
Have you heard of this, Bean? Have you heard of Dog TV?
I have heard of Dog TV. I did hear that they put a network on that is meant for not humans who are watching TVs with their pets, but for pets to watch when the humans are out of the room. And it's supposed to be programming that is interesting that will keep a dog's attention and help them from being bored.
Yeah.
But I had not heard about the new addition to the channel.
Is on the channel?
They are now making actual music that is created for the enjoyment of dogs.
Who's doing that? The keyboardist for fun?
Yeah.
Andrew Dost is his name. He's the keyboardist for fun. They came to him and they said, we need music to soothe dogs that are anxious.
Now, let me ask you this question before we go to Mr. Dost on the phone here. We all have dogs. We've all been with our dogs as we have been listening to music. Have you ever been able to tell whether your dogs enjoy any kind of particular music that you're playing?
No, I don't have no
None
idea.
None at all, right? Doesn't matter if you're listening to jazz or heavy metal or gospel or country or whatever. No difference in your dog. So how do we know what dogs like and what they don't like if they don't have any kind of response to music that we listen to?
Why don't we ask the guy who's writing that music?
I think that's actually a really good idea. Andrew Doss from the band Fun Period joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, we're doing fine. So you've teamed up with Dog TV to create music for dogs.
Yeah, Dog TV came to me and they said that we want to
make some music for the dogs to listen to and watch video
right.
while they're watching dog TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a great idea. I'm a big dog lover. I'm donating my pay from this to an animal rescue in my hometown of Detroit, and I'm just happy to be part of it.
Okay, I mean, that's admirable, but how do you know what dogs like?
Well, I approach this composition differently, than I would for humans.
Sure.
I made sure the range of frequencies and the instrumentation was tailored for, a dog's unique sense of hearing, and I kept things musically more linear and level because a rapid change in tonality, I think, would be more agitating to a dog, and I wanted to make something soothing for him.
So you're sort of just, it sounds like, guessing as you go along what they'll like.
No.
Not guessing.
This is pretty much based on a lot of...
Okay.
Animal husbandry research and work. People, professionals who have worked with dogs and found what agitated them, what noises soothed them, which ones made them excited. And I really think we've hit on the right musical formula.
Now, this may be a dumb question. Forgive me, Andrew, but do dogs enjoy the same kind of music as cats? Is it?
You can't say the F word on that radio.
What?
Look, we agree with you, F cats, but you can't actually say that.
I'm sorry. I don't know anything about cats, really. I'm pretty much a dog composer.
A dog guy. All right. Do you have any examples of what this music would sound like that you've made for dogs?
Of course. This is one of the tracks that will be featured on Dog TV.
Oh, good.
And it's called The Very Special Moment.
Very Special Moment.
I lick my own balls. Woo! I like to sniff the garbage. Hey, look! Tennis ball! Tennis ball! Oh, I want to kill that cat.
That's supposed to soothe dogs that are anxious?
Yeah, it's the range of notes and... The linear way that we use the tonalities.
I see.
It kind of sounds like what a dog might be thinking. Do you have another example?
Yeah, this one's called Caring for Her. I walk down the street and look, hey, it's poop. Let me smell it. Hey, I know that bitch. Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to eat it.
Oh.
No.
All right.
That's terrible, but it's not for us, so
it's
I guess we shouldn't care.
Dogs,
right?
Dogs are going to love this stuff.
All right. So we can hear this music on Dog TV, which is available, by the way, from DirecTV. You can actually get a lot of people. It's in a lot of homes. You have one more for us, Andrew?
Sure. It's called Missing Her.
Missing Her.
I'm angry that you left me alone in this house. I'm going to eat your clothes and chew up your furniture. So if you lady who feeds me, I don't care. Here's some poop in your shoe.
Just sounds angry, doesn't it?
I don't know. It's kind of beautiful, that one. What's that?
Andrew?
Is that continuing? Or?
That's just the instrumental.
That was the instrumental.
Oh, okay.
I like it. Well done.
Well done.
I know we're talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky, host of Loveline here on K-Rock with Mike Catherwood 5 nights a week and Dr. Drew on call on HLM, but I'm hesitant to do this because there aren't enough death penalties in the world for this Justin Harris guy. I'm going to get so angry even talking about this case. Dr. Drew, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Up the big conversation for the morning.
Yes, lovely.
I know that you have been talking about Justin Harris a lot on your HLN nighttime show, but for folks who don't recognize the name, please bring them up to speed.
This is a gentleman, I use the term loosely, who was delivering his 22-month-old baby boy to his daycare on his way to work, stopped by a Chick-fil-A, which is about a half mile from work. And then in the intervening minute and a half that it took him to drive from the Chick-fil-A, which, by the way, he had the kid out of the car, put him back in the car, and going to work, he forgot he had the kid in the car, allegedly, ran into work, and left the kid in the car in the scorching heat where it went up to 120 degrees, and the child died. And people are suggesting now, because they found on his computer multiple searches for things like how long does it take for a child to die in the car, how to live a child-free life, brat-free is some sort of, there are crazy websites out there.
Oh, my God.
Who now refer to a child as who having cooked in his car as a little sizzler.
Oh, that's so hateable.
Yeah. I mean, when you first hear this story, you go, oh, this is just another terrible, tragic accident. I feel so bad for this man. He'll never, ever get over the guilt of forgetting his kid in the car. That's what you think, because you do see, unfortunately, a couple of these a year where people don't realize how hot it gets in a car and how fast it can, pets as well. But then you start to read about all these internet searches, and there's no doubt in any of our minds that he did it on purpose, right, Doctor?
Well, how could it be? It's so baffling. That's the crazy thing about this case. I mean, how could it be otherwise? He's doing these and here's the part that really put me over the head, and I left out the most important part of the story. It turned out that if there's anything of doubt about this guy's responsibility for what he has done,
right?
Here's the piece you need to know. Perhaps it wasn't volitional. Perhaps he wasn't premeditated. Turns out, all morning, he was sexting with six women. He was so effing preoccupied with sexting and chatting and carrying on with these women, and one of them was underage, that I think one of the potential explanations here, he just absolutely just was out of his head with sex addiction and just was preoccupied with his babes and left the child in the car.
But Dr. Drew, that goes counterintuitive to the fact that you found all those those searches on his computer, which leads you to believe he did it on purpose.
It does, and the searches you just shake your head like, what? He's doing what?
How's that possible?
And how could he not think that people would find these searches if he really was premeditating this?
Does he have a wife, or is the child's mom in his life at all?
The wife, the mom has been almost as bizarre as the child. At the child's funeral, which was just days after this whole tragedy, she gets up at the podium and basically says, you know, I'm sort of glad this kid died because he won't have to go through all the miserable things I went through growing up.
Wow!
And I've accepted it. And my husband's really a great guy. And no one ever, you know, I can't wait to look forward to having more children with him.
What?
It's one of those unfortunate things.
What's happening? Come on!
I know, right?
Dr. Drew, in the course of doing the HLN show and some of the people you talk to on Loveline, do you ever just feel like you want to give up on humans?
We did this particular story for quite a while last night, and as I kept sort of reviewing the facts, that's the kind of feeling I have. Like, I don't care whether it's because he's sexting or because he wanted a little sizzler or because there are people out there who talk about little sizzlers.
Yeah.
And by the way, we did another story. I forget what the story was, but basically it was a woman who a woman who pushed a child off a subway car in New York City and left him on a platform.
Oh, my God.
At Columbus Circle. Just left him because she thought she couldn't handle him. So just goodbye. I left him on the platform. And our online responses were bizarre. They were basically saying, well, at least she didn't kill a cheetah kid. You know, I thought, how low have our expectations of parenting become in this country?
Yeah, no kidding.
That the good guys are leaving their kids on subway platforms.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is shocking.
So,
welcome back to work, gentlemen.
Yeah, hey,
yeah, no kidding. Here. No kidding. So he's in jail and is being charged with second degree cruelty to a child and felony murder.
Yes.
And can he get the death penalty?
I don't think so.
Can he get it today?
But he's going to be in big trouble. And so that's my point, is whether or not he premeditated or whether it's because he's a sex addict. And by the way, there is an interesting point to be made here that maybe we can learn something from this, which is, you know, if you would put in the word alcohol as opposed to sex, people would go, oh, I get it. He was out of his head. He was drinking. He didn't know what was going on. And indeed, you know, an intoxicant has more of an effect on judgment than merely a distraction like sexuality.
Right.
But when people are way into sex addiction, they're in a mind-altered state. They are not in their right mind. And things like distractibility and loss of priorities and all that stuff really happen. So one of the explanations here is that he just got so far into his sex addiction that this is the consequence. Somebody died, which often happens from addiction. People die. But even if that's what the explanation is, I'm sorry, little sizzler dad. You're going to prison.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? You should have gotten help a year ago when this thing was spiraling out of control, not when you kill your kid.
And by the way, and I'll leave it on this note, it's really going to make it hard to continue to sex these girls once they find out he's the one who let his kid fry, right?
I knew something bad was going to come out of your
mouth. Of course.
Yeah, that's the issue here, Bean.
Love Line with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood on K-Rock, Saturday through Thursday nights at 10. Watch Dr. Drew on call on HLN with his bevy.
54.
By the way, Elizabeth Talavera, frequent from Costa Mesa, frequent Kevin and Bean emailer, is also a winner this morning. She just won a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes. That's a full year at the Disney Park and also Disney's California Adventure.
Yep.
You can get details and another chance to win right now at krock.com.
That's right.
Ralph, how can you make everything sound terrible?
Ah, it sounds good.
Elizabeth. Ralph, is here now, time for the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on, man?
You tell me what's going on. You got some breaking news you wanted to tell people about, right?
Well, I think we all did. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel sent out an email this morning. It's A is the subject line, and then the word girl.
Aww. Very nice.
Good for James.
Jimmy says the damnedest thing happened not long ago. A baby came out of Molly. Her name is Jane. We'll figure out the middle name later. Molly was great, calm, forceful, and determined. Bravery-wise, she reminded me a lot of myself. The baby looks good, but doesn't have a whole lot to say. So congratulations to the Kimmels on their new baby girl, who is named Jane.
That's congratulations awesome. On Jane, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A name.
Just a regular, normal name
that a person has.
Yeah.
A name for a person and a baby, and it's a girl, and she got a name that was normal and real and a name.
So does that mean Jimmy is not really a celebrity then if he comes up with the name Jane for his kid?
I think it makes him an uber celebrity.
Right. Better than the other celebrities who try too hard.
I'm glad we don't have Valor Kimmel to talk to.
Yeah.
And by the way, true. Nothing wrong with the name Jane. Very pretty.
Right. I think I'm praising it.
Ralph said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're all in favor of it.
Terrific. And by the way, not everyone got that email. Just saying.
You didn't get it.
Nope. I don't know what I've done to Jimmy Kimmel, but was not invited to his wedding, did not get the birth announcement email. I ticked him off in some serious way. I need to make amends somehow.
You're not pouting. I think that goes a long way.
I got to send him a check or something, apparently.
Maybe a nice, an extra nice baby gift.
There you go. Send him some fruit. Kids like fruit, don't they?
They need it to grow up. Not when they're 2 days
thick
old.
And strong. They need fruit and protein. Mm. I'm going to send him a protein bar and a banana.
I think I would let them handle that end of it.
What do they know about kids?
Just saying.
While we're talking about babies, Justin Bieber's in the news. He got pegged to $80,900 for tossing eggs at his neighbor's home in Calabasas, and will get 2 years probation as well. That's what his lawyers pleaded the charges of misdemeanor vandalism down to.
80 grand he probably has in his pocket.
One sock. He carries that in one sock.
Yeah.
And 2 years probation. Look. Chris Brown, how many times did he have to get in trouble before he finally violated the probation enough?
Yeah, it's true.
To put him behind bars. So the whole thing just meaningless.
It's a beginning, though, Ralph.
DA apparently was happy enough to plead down the deal, saying that egg throwing is an extremely immature and silly act, but not a big criminal offense. So
I would be willing to bet that our man Kevin has thrown eggs in the last year.
I think he probably threw them in the parking lot this morning before he came to work.
But at people. I don't destroy buildings.
Houses?
Right.
Well, no, you've got standards.
That's right. I have a limit.
Hey, I wasn't on the first couple of days of this week. Our vacations are a little out of sync, so I missed. Did Kevin blow anything up on the 4th of July?
I did not. No.
He didn't, no.
I didn't get back from Brazil till like the 3rd,
right?
Super early.
So you didn't have time to get your rockets red glare on like you usually do.
I was trying my best, and I was so disappointed that night on the 4th. I was like,
that must have been the saddest holiday ever for you.
I really need to be lighting something that blows up.
We don't have much time here, but it's okay in terms of the Emmy nominations, because we're going to talk about those next with Michael Schneider from TV Guide. So stick around, and you can hear all the stories about all the nominations for the 66th Primetime Emmy Awards that were announced this morning. Some good choices. Some people got snubbed. The usual. But right now, I want to give away some tickets to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Purge: Anarchy.
Yay!
Happens on July the 15th at the AMC Burbank 16. This, of course, the sequel to the popular movie The Purge. This time, a young couple is driving on Purge Night. First of all, don't go out on Purge Night.
Yeah, it's
first rule of Purge Night, don't go out on Purge Night.
That's true.
Their car breaks down, and then they're right down there in the middle of it. Now what are you
going to
do?
You are all going to die tonight.
That's right. That's what happens.
What happens.
We're giving away tickets to our special screening on July the 15th, but the movie is in theaters everywhere on July the 18th, so don't feel bad if you don't win. Five winners right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call me now. First five people who get through with that number, boom. You got yourself a pair of passes. That's how that works. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born today on July the 10th. Mindy Sterling, a legendary Groundling member, and also Frau Farbischener, from the Austin Power movie. She is 61 years old today. Pet Shop Boys singer Neil Tennant is 60.
What have I? What have I? What have I done to deserve this?
Love that song. 60 years old. Sofia Vergara is 42. Adrian Grenier of, what's that? Entourage show. That's it. 38 years old. Chiwetel Ejiofor from 12 Years a Slave. Also an Emmy nominee this morning for his work in Dancing on the Edge. He is 37. And singer Jessica Simpson celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business
for 9 o'clock.
Emmy nomination day. This morning, our friend Carson Daly, along with Mindy Kaling at 5:30 in the morning, read the nominations for the 66th annual Primetime Emmys that are going to be held on August the 25th. We want to talk about them with our friend Michael Schneider, L.A. Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine, who joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Mike, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, it's going fine. In the internet age, we certainly don't have to run through all the nominees and all the categories. People can easily find them online. But let's talk about some of the big stuff that's going on. I read that fascinating piece in TV Guide this week about how there are over 200 shows up for Emmys.
Yeah, it's gotten bigger
amazing.
Every year. Yeah. So 108 dramas were up for it and almost 90 comedies. So you're going to get a lot of snubs, and that's what we saw today is, you know, there's only room for a few good shows. So a lot of great shows just don't get recognized at all.
But there's also a lot of bad shows as well that don't deserve it.
So we won't talk about those. Right. I was just talking to King of Mexico, and he's a little upset that Awkward and some of his Teen Wolf didn't make it.
Yeah, Teen Wolf.
That's what the Teen Choice Awards are for.
Yeah, so. Exactly, yeah.
But let's focus on some of the great shows that did get nominations. Like,
is
like
the biggest
Orphan Black.
Yes! The biggest snub of the day, of the year, of last year and this year has to be Tatiana Maslany not getting nominated. Can you please, you're a Hollywood insider, can you please explain how a woman who is doing something that's never been done before on television and doing it brilliantly every week doesn't get a nomination?
I want to go door to door to Emmy voters and just smack them hard, because for whatever reason they're not watching Orphan Black, they're not recognizing Tatiana Maslany, they're not watching The Americans. There's so many good shows that they're just not watching. I don't know if it's because they're on obscure networks, they don't get a lot of viewers. I mean, they get a lot of attention and buzz, but for whatever reason, they're set in their ways. They have certain shows they're going to nominate and certain shows they're not going to.
But Michael, isn't it sort of in a strange way, if that's their job to know what the good shows are and to nominate them and that kind of stuff?
And to watch what's in their category, right?
Yeah, but, you know, there are only six nominated shows in Best Comedy and Drama. So, you know, you can see the ones that are going to automatically get it. So Breaking Bad, this is the final season, it was going to get a slot.
Right.
Mad Men, they still love Mad Men at the Academy. Still a good show.
Right.
So that's going to get a slot. And the list goes on. So, you know, once you get past the ones that they love to nominate every year, there's just no room for anything else.
No, and I understand that. And look, I think it's fair comment to say for anyone who's complaining about whatever their favorite actor or actress or show is that got snubbed, you have to then say, what on this list would you replace it with? There has to be something that isn't worth being nominated. And the problem is, in some of these categories, as we live in this golden age of television, is there are too many great performances to put on a list of only five or six. That's true.
Yeah, and there are shows that, you know, probably shouldn't have been on the list this year. I mean, Modern Family has been a good show, but it's you know, it's probably time to push it aside and bring in some fresh blood, for example, on the comedy side.
It was interesting, that article that I referenced earlier in TV Guide about the nominations and the 200 shows that are up. A lot of campaigning goes on, and I'm wondering if some of these shows like Orphan Black on BBC America just doesn't have the juice. Could that be part of it? They don't have the machine that HBO does to get their shows rammed down voters' throats.
That could be it. And also, you know, there's still not a big, well-known name on a show like that. I mean, we're all buzzing about Tatiana Maslany, but she's still not a household name yet. So a good example of someone who, you know, probably wouldn't have gotten a nomination otherwise is Ricky Gervais. For Derek, a show on Netflix I don't think many people are watching, but because it's Ricky Gervais, he's going to get a nomination. And Melissa McCarthy got a nomination, I think, because she's Melissa McCarthy, not
right,
because of Mike
right.
Molly, but because she's become sort of the superstar.
All right, let me ask you about a couple of other shows that, again, I feel like a broken record every year that we have to name them, but why no love ever in any of the acting categories for Sons of Anarchy or The Walking Dead, two of the best shows on television?
Yeah, for whatever reason, these are shows that maybe are just too challenging for voters, or they just feel are not traditional Emmy-style shows. I did another story on how the sci-fi stuff and the fantasy stuff – rarely gets nominated, or even if it does, like Game of Thrones gets a lot of nominations, but it doesn't get many wins. You know, it's never won Best Series. So, you know, the fantasy stuff, for whatever reason, gets snubbed all the time. And Sons of Anarchy, it may just be too edgy for voters, perhaps. There are just certain shows that the Emmy voters have decided, we're just not going to watch it. We're not going to nominate it.
That's I can't understand that. Honestly, like, these are the people who vote for the awards for TV shows. That's your job. Watch the show Sons of Anarchy. It's great.
And The Walking Dead is the most popular show on television in some demos. Right, Michael?
Yeah. You know, it's a big enough voting body. It's, you know, 15,000 people that at some point, you know, the people who are voting for, you know, the same old every year, they're just going to win out from the people who are actually voting on the edgy your newer stuff.
Well, it's time to fire those people. Agreed. And replace them with people who are willing to watch TV for a living. How happy are they over at Netflix today? Did it meet their expectations with these nominations they got?
Oh, you know, they're jumping up and down at Netflix as if they needed another reason. You know, they're already, you know, living the dream, living the good life, and they got 31 nominations today, which is insane. House of Cards, Orange is the New Black both got all the Emmys. So, it's a good time to be at Netflix.
What was your personal disappointment for the morning, Michael?
Well, I think we talked about it. So Tatiana Maslany, I would have been cheering had she had gotten nominated. That would have been great, and it would have been a good sign that Emmys is really serious about bringing in fresh blood. Same thing with The Americans. I think that's an underappreciated show.
I do, too.
Such a good second season for The Americans, and I'm bummed that it just gets no nominations. I actually tweeted out that Disney Channel show Dog with a Blog got more nominations than Orphan Black or The Americans today.
Oh, so there is oh my God. Hollywood. Wow.
That does hurt.
Is there Ralph Mayer of Hollywood yet?
Well, he's
that's what I said.
He's sort of a figurehead, though, at this point, I think.
Okay. Yeah, he needs to get in there and get it done. One of those categories where there are too many great performers to include everybody is the outstanding actor in a drama. Bryan Cranston, no matter how many times he's nominated, no matter how many times he wins, he still deserves to be there. He's still doing that caliber work, right?
Yeah. But by the way, Matthew McConaughey is going to get that one, without a doubt. This
True Detective,
is McConaughey's year. Everyone wants to see him go up on stage and go, all right, one more time.
That is the same category, though, that James Spader ought to be in. And there's just no room for him, I guess.
That's another big snub. No room for Spader, which is a little surprising.
So good on Blacklist.
Yeah. But again, you know, it's tough when you're on a broadcast network these days. It's, you know, all the pay channels and the cable channels really dominate all these major categories now.
All right, let me ask you one more thing before we let you go. This is the voice of our friend Michael Schneider on the phone. He is the LA Bureau Chief for TV Guide Magazine, and you should be following on Twitter for late-breaking Hollywood news and opinion at Franklin Avenue. Why are the Emmys on a Monday night this year, Michael?
Well, it's a little complicated. Whenever NBC has the Emmys, they have to push it to August because they have Sunday Night Football, so you couldn't do it in September. So they moved it to August, and then they realized, oh, crap, the MTV Video Music Awards are on Sunday night. The night they were going to do it, so then they had to move it to Monday.
Okay.
So that's why it's so weird this year.
All right, TVGuide.com for all the coverage of the 66th Annual Emmy Award nominations that were announced this morning. Always great to have you on the program, man. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
One more look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Oh, Pornhub.
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 Is going on?
Familiar with Pornhub.com?
No, but I can pretty much tell what it is.
It's my homepage.
It's a hub, Kevin.
Right.
For porn.
Okay.
Where you go.
I'm with you so far.
For all your erotic entertainment is where you go to Pornhub.com. They have made an impassioned plea to its users. Pornhub, like many of the pornography clearinghouse websites, is largely contributed to by its viewers.
Okay.
You can upload your favorite clips and
films. Oh, so it's like all amateur stuff?
No, it's just whatever your favorite thing is. If you can edit it together. It's like YouTube.
Okay.
You get to upload stuff for the enjoyment of your fellow man.
Okay.
Does anybody need that much porno?
Yes.
Yes.
And new, constantly new. So Pornhub has made an impassioned plea to its viewers to please stop posting highlights of the Germany-Brazil World Cup game in their public humiliation category.
Yay!
That's awesome.
Not what they mean when they say public humiliation on Pornhub.
That hurts. So, and is awesome at the same
time.
They
are asking people to stop doing that. I'm assuming mostly German.
I would imagine.
Users of Pornhub have been doing that. So
yeah.
If you're doing that, stop it. Congratulations.
But isn't that the best thing the Germans are doing in the arena for? Never mind. Back to you.
Now, if you've got a glass table, it's not. Congratulations to Robert Downey Jr. He's going to be a dad again. He sent out a tweet yesterday with just six words. Susan, me, baby, girl, November, Scorpio? Obviously, speculation is that his wife Susan has a little baby girl in her belly, and we're going to be meeting that girl soon. So congratulations, RDJ, who I now is like, is 50, 50, 51?
It's got to be about that. But he can't write beyond a third grade level?
He's just...
I think it was shorthand.
Sending a little something out there for folks just to give them a heads up.
Yeah.
More babies in the news. Eva Mendez apparently will be wearing maternity this fall. She's pregnant with Ryan Gosling's baby, according to sources.
So is she the most hated woman in America right now then by other ladies?
Because she has taken the Ryan Gosling seed?
Yeah.
I think there's more to go around.
I bet there's
a lot.
He has
no plans of marrying her, he says. So I think, I think there's a lot of girls who have a chance to be knocked up by Ryan Gosling.
That's good news.
I think there's a lot of unwed pregnancies in his future. He doesn't think they need to tie the knot. I bet he doesn't. So no word on whether they will make a permanent arrangement, but at least they're going to have share a baby. They'll have that.
I didn't even know that they were dating, if they are.
They're a thing. Speaking of babies, also congratulations to our friend James Kimmel. Apparently his lovely wife Molly just had a baby, and baby Jane Kimmel. No middle name yet, apparently announced. Hoping for Guillermo.
That'd be pretty sweet.
That'd be the right thing to do.
I think so.
Name the kid after his true parent. I could have said that better. No, I felt like I could have. That was a swing and a miss. My bad.
And Andy Griffith is dead. Over the weekend, there were lots of posts on Facebook mourning the death of legendary TV actor Andy Griffith. Here's the thing. He's still dead. His actual death was back in 2012. No word on why a sudden upswell in Andy Griffith death announcements hit the internet this weekend, but apparently people really want you to know he's still very, very dead.
It must have been people who weren't paying attention when he died, so then they were like, oh, no, he's dead?
Maybe, I guess, but there were a lot of death announcements. Oh, so sorry to hear Andy Griffith passed away. It's like, yeah, 2 years ago. How sorry could you be? Mark and Brian?
just now able to tweet about it.
Just able to put fingers to keyboard.
It's too painful until now.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian West, also talking about her baby in the news, told Lucky Magazine interview that her 1-year-old baby girl has developed a very sophisticated set of color preferences.
Sure.
North prefers grays, creams, oatmeal colors, and black, she said in the interview.
Nope.
Before the reporter smacked her in the forehead with his steno pad.
I wish that happened.
I do, too. How would she know what the child likes? She barely spends any time with her, from everything I've read.
And you can't really tell what color your 1-year-old likes.
Nope, you really
can't.
There's
no way to tell.
Nope. Did you hear they had her ears pierced just before the Kidcella 1-year birthday party they threw for her?
No.
So they could put diamond studs in her ears for the party. At one.
No.
Yeah.
Kidcella.
Yep.
They called the party.
Yep.
Yep. That happened. And Bina, you were on vacation when we first started talking about it, but Michelle Rodriguez has a new boyfriend named Zac Efron. Did you know that?
I don't think I knew they were dating, though.
Yeah, they're a couple now.
Okay.
As we mentioned yesterday, it confirms Michelle Rodriguez likes the ladies. And the concern of Zac's friends is that he may have a hard time staying sober because Michelle apparently enjoys a cocktail or two.
Or five.
TMZ is reporting that
50.
His new lady friend was spotted drinking and smoking and stumbling all night at a nightclub that they were seen at together last Monday night. So it's kind of hard, I think, to maintain your sobriety when your girlfriend is falling about the place.
That's tough. And I bet we have a lot of listeners, Ralph, who are in that real-life situation where one party in the relationship is sober and the other is not. And it's got to be a very tricky balance.
Yeah. You think Kevin's wife has never not driven home from anything they've ever attended?
Dare you?
How difficult must be for her to? She knows she can't have a good time when she goes out because Kevin will have a slice of pizza in one hand and a drink in the other, and will be slumped against something by the end of the night.
She is tragic. A designated driver for life.
She is,
basically.
That's the cross she has to bear.
How dare you?
Those pictures of, and again, I know I wasn't here, but those pictures of Kevin on the floor in Brazil,
are
so great.
She'd
be proud.
It was at a party, not afterwards or an after party.
No, there was a party going on around you.
During the party.
Your batteries just run down, though, at that point, right?
Batteries, yeah. It was. He got sleepy, Bean. That's what it was. He was just exhausted.
I was tired, Ralph.
Sure. And dehydrated, I'm sure.
There was that.
And great geek news. We just keep getting better and better geek news every day. First, yesterday, we explored the magic that is the Atom. The Atom's coming to Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The popular CW TV series Arrow.
Do you know what
about the Green Arrow? The Atom now will be joining the cast. You familiar with the Atom?
Because it's dumb.
It's the best.
But it's dumb.
I mean, awesome. I know it from what we've talked about on this show. And isn't it the former Superman actor is going to be the Atom?
Brandon Ralph will be playing the Atom, yes.
Yeah, I did see that.
Scientist Ray Palmer, who can shrink himself to any size with the use of his uniform, which, of course, has the power of the white dwarf star inside
of
it.
Sure.
All right.
And he can shrink himself down to any size. He can make himself microscopic to the point where he can travel via phone lines by riding on electrons.
Oh, you.
That would be a great superpower to have.
Thank you.
Incredible superpower to have.
And as I mentioned yesterday, he can maintain his body mass even at a small size. So he could be 3 inches tall and still weigh 180 pounds and jump up and clock you right in the head.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I think that's strong. I think I'm with the Garmin on this one.
And they just announced
kiss ass
that the CW show The Flash is getting another superhero added to their cast. Robbie Amell, who is
Stephen Amell's
cousin, who was on the Tomorrow People show that used to follow Arrow.
Okay.
That's been canceled.
Right.
But now he has a role. He will be joining the cast of The Flash, the spinoff show. Of course, with Barry Allen, who turns into the fastest man alive. Robbie Amell will be playing Firestorm.
Oh, Firestorm.
Who is a maintenance worker.
Sure.
By day, but when he merges with another guy together, they form the nuclear-powered superhero Firestorm, who has the ability to change matter into anything he wants to.
But if the other guy
turns like a hamburger into a brick.
But if the other guy's not available,
he's got to find him.
He can do what?
Well, they got to hook up.
Why do they need two guys though to make one superhero?
One of them is the physical body embodiment, and the other one is the consciousness that he shares that body when they fight crime together.
No, I'm rejecting this totally.
Firestorm.
Firestorm is dumb.
We're all very excited. Robbie Raymond. Oh, can't wait. It's a good time.
Why?
Why indeed?
I'm just getting you guys primed for Comic-Con in a couple weeks.
Oh, are you following us down there again this year?
Yeah, I'll be riding your coattails down there at Comic-Con this year.
I think we might have some room for you. I mean, we go down there every year.
Oh, but sure. I know you're a long-time Comic-Con attendee.
We can pull out a chair for you, I guess, if you want to crash the party.
Bean, I don't think you weren't here when we mentioned it, but I am now free to announce that I will be moderating the panel celebrating the DVD Blu-ray release of the 1966 Batman TV.
Yay!
Wow. Bean, he just melted in happiness when he said that, Ralph, the first time. It was just so great.
On stage with Adam West, Burt Ward, TV's Robin, Julie Newmar, TV's Catwoman, and we will be showing clips from the newly remastered prints of the show and talking about the DVD.
This is the news that Batman 66 fans have been waiting for literally decades.
Yeah, almost 50 years.
It's finally here.
It's madness.
That's awesome.
So I get to be the guy who unveils it.
Can we come to that?
Nope.
Can we just hang out?
You're long-time attendees. You must have all the hookups down there at Comic-Con. You guys are so well-known down there.
Right, that's what I meant. We're going to be at that, then.
That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jessica Simpson's 34 years old today. Chiwetel Ejiofor is 12 years a slave and 37 years alive. See what I did there?
I do.
Adrian Grenier is 38 years old. Sofia Vergara is 42. Neil Tennant. Pet Shop Boys lead singer is 60 years old, and actress Mindy Sterling, you know her from the Austin Power films. Very talented comedian. She is 61. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Ralphie May will join us in studio.
Finally, he's got to be on our show. Finally, Ralphie May's coming in.
We will talk about Donald Sterling and his continuing effort to destroy the Clippers.
How is this trial not on C-SPAN or wherever they put trials? Court TV
Great
or something?
Question.
Why is this not being televised?
I would watch every second of it.
Of a more entertaining courtroom drama that I've ever heard than the reports are coming out from this.
But let me ask you guys this, and this is a serious question. As much as we all hate Donald Sterling, he's a horrible, horrible person and should be drummed out of proper civilization. It's sad. He's mentally ill or has Alzheimer's, right? It's
like
sad,
him.
Right?
Not according to him. It's all trumped up, man.
We're not all just laughing at a sad, sad, seriously mentally damaged old man at this point?
I feel like he's done enough damage. I don't care.
He's a horrible person.
Okay.
He does have a long history of heinousness.
He's a slumlord forever. I mean, he's just a terrible person.
At what point do you lose your sympathy card to play when you're that person? Although I do challenge the logic and the ethics of his legal team if they keep putting him on the stand. That seems like it's bad call.
They can't force – I mean, wouldn't he be forced to testify even if he didn't want to be on the stand? He doesn't have any choice in this case, does he?
I think you always have a choice.
I believe you always have a choice. Yeah, I don't think you ever have to.
I don't know. We'll do some research.
We will.
I promise it'll be a little smoother than this.
I'm
going
to go to law school overnight, and then I'll come in tomorrow, and I'll tell you what's up.
Matt Money Smith will be here to tell us about the NBA musical chairs that are going on, most likely today. A lot of those decisions will be made. And Ralph's got the movie beat as well. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and